Welcome to Profit Boss Radio. I'm your host, Hillary Hendershot, certified financial planner and owner of every money mistake you can imagine. I now run a successful financial planning and wealth coaching firm. I'm here to share with you what I learned turning failure into financial freedom. Profit Boss Radio is all about how women like us are authoring our own lives, rewriting the rule book of money, and running incredible businesses. If you like this show, hit subscribe, share it with a friend, and leave us that 5-star review. Are you ready, Profit Boss? Let's do this. Hey, Profit Boss, Hillary here. I know at this point, we are usually jumping right into a great interview or learning what's happening in the world of finances and investing, and that is coming. But as soon as I heard this stat, I knew you'd want to hear this. Intuit did a recent survey that found 40% of business owners in the US are financially illiterate. 40%. And as surprising as that may be to you, I actually need to confess I wasn't really shocked by that number. It really is what my team at Hendershot Wealth Management sees when we connect with new clients. So many business owners are just overwhelmed by their numbers. What's your sales revenue? What are your profit margins? What are your expenses and staffing costs? These are the numbers you really need to know to run a profitable business. So what did I do? I poured all my resources into building out our brand new free training called Becoming a Profit Boss, a step-by-step plan to owning your business numbers for higher profitability without sacrificing your purpose, joy, or integrity. In this training, I'm going to show you the exact process we use to help business owners take full control of their business, to help you really know the numbers that matter for your business to be truly profitable. Becoming a profit boss means you can live the life you crave, and it's easier than you may think. Starting next week, registration for this empowering and educational webinar will be open. I'll be giving you all the details to register here. So if you're ready to truly become a profit boss, I hope you'll take me up on this opportunity to change your life and your business for good. All right, Profit Boss, welcome to the next episode of Profit Boss Radio, where today we are talking about the juice, the stuff, the how to make more money with less time with my friend and guest, Kelsey Kerslake. She is a mother, CEO, creative director, and business coach. She's also the podcast host of the Aligned Business Podcast. Over the last decade, she's helped hundreds of online business owners build their brands and online presences. As the founder and creative director of Pinegate Road, a personal branding and web design agency, she has an MFA in graphic design from the Savannah College of Art and Design, and in 2016 successfully made the transition from working in corporate America while pursuing a side hustle to being the CEO of her online design agency and education business. Kelsey, welcome to Profit Boss Radio.
Well, or thank you for having me. I was almost going to re-welcome you, but thank you
good.
For having
just
me.
Just roll off the red carpet. We're both welcome here. Thank you.
Yay.
You know, I got so excited when I saw this this kind of story from you as a potential episode topic. I feel like maybe it's just me that it's kind of where I am, that I'm sort of desperately seeking more free time, more white space in my business. But the idea of working less and making more is so hot. Can you tell me, how did you become an expert in that?
Yeah. So I kind of did it by accident, but I also knew that I was never going to get into business and have a life that I didn't love. And so I've always used that as a gauge for making decisions in my business and how I grew things and even my career. And so I really got into it when I knew that I was going to start having a family. And I wanted to make sure that my business was at a point where I wasn't taking a maternity leave and just taking time off. I was at a point where I wanted to be able to have my business grow as I took the time off. And so it was about 3 years of navigating that, growing my agency and getting it to a point where it could run kind of without me if it needed to. And yeah, so I was able to scale that. And that is when I decided to start teaching other people how to do this as well.
Awesome. And so when you set out to create an agency that didn't require a lot of your time, or that, as you said, could almost run without you, what are the things that you put in place? What's the differentiating factor between your business and someone else? I mean, most business owners get burnt out at some point because it's just escalation of time commitment. So how did you avoid that?
Yeah. So I really got clear on where I wanted to head and what I wanted my days to look like. So at every stage in my business, I'm always thinking of in a year from now or 6 months from now, what do I want my actual days to look like? And I make decisions on what I do as a CEO based on that. And then I hire the team, I build in the processes, I guess we use this word judge my offerings to make sure that it's not my time being spent and that clients are still getting what they need and they're still getting excellent results, but it's my team or the processes or, you know, recordings or just different things that aren't me delivering those results.
Okay. Say more about that. What are three of the tools that you use or tactics that you use as an example? You can give me four or five if you want, but like, what are the things that actually enable you to not be part of the product delivery?
I think that you do have to get a product delivery system in place. So I would say like, what is the result that you're getting your client, right? You always want to keep that in mind and make sure that that is excellent. And then what process do you go through in order to get that result for your client? So for example, we have our branding and web design clients in the agency. And even though every single client is doing something unique and they're doing something really special, and we give them this custom experience, they're always going to go through brand strategy. They are always going to go through brand design. They're always going to go through website strategy and marketing flow and website development. And so we build these processes and a schedule. And this does take time and experimentation. It's not like you snap your fingers and it's perfect. Uh-huh. It took us 2 years to get that process really truly down and building the team in place for them to deliver the client's excellent results without me having to be there. So I think it's first, number one, really diving into that process and making sure you have a standard process that you take your clients through, and then getting the right team in place and training them over time to deliver the excellent results and make sure that it's okay for them to make mistakes along the way while you're there. And so that was one thing. There's that time where you're training your team. You are, you know, you're more in it then, but you're doing that with that future goal of taking more time off in the future. And right. So I would dive in, I would do extra Loom videos and really make sure my team was able to deliver at the level that I personally would. And then you're really able to make that plan and slowly transition yourself out and be able to fly from there.
So you, like, do you literally have a standard operating procedure manual? I mean, is everything that gets delivered to the customer is standardized and written down, proceduralized?
It's a Google Doc. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But we'll hire brand designers that I know that they have the skills and the typography skills and the education in order to deliver at that level. And then they go through our brand standard operating procedures, and they're able to follow step by step by step. And there's videos of how does Kelsey think about typography and what things should we be thinking about as we're executing these brands? And again, that didn't happen overnight, but it can happen over time if you have that vision.
Right. And I'm thinking probably, so how many designers do you have, or how many people do you have that are delivering the consultancy package, the product to your customers?
Yeah. So in our agency right now, we have a project and account manager. We have a salesperson. We have one main brand and web designer, but we do work with other brand designers when the strategy is, you know, she doesn't do that certain style or something, and we'll hire somebody else. And she does the strategy with me. I'm overviewing everything, but that's not as much time because I'm kind of like guiding her and through our process. And then we have a web developer. So is that five people?
I wasn't five? Counting. Either four or five.
We had a lot more. We had like 15 at one time. And I was like, let's consolidate this because this is a lot of people. But I'm really only talking to our salesperson and then our account and project manager. And then she manages the rest of the team. I guess I talked to our brand designer too. Those three.
Tell me about the salesperson.
So the salesperson, she is the person, if you go to our website and apply for a project, she's the one that gets on the calendar with them. She's actually I coached her in our coaching program. So she knows a lot of my business practices and principles. And then she's actually a web designer by trade. And she was getting a little burnt out by actually doing the web design and loves strategizing with people. And she loves sales. So she actually works with me and one other client, and she does our web and branding sales. And she puts time on her calendar. She knows our processes and, you know, how to support our clients, and people book
right
through her.
Yeah, obviously.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's really interesting, because a lot of times I find myself saying to people, if you don't have a VP of sales, you are the VP of sales. So you're the CEO and the VP of sales. You have to take both hats seriously, because if the VP of sales doesn't do their job, you can't pay the paychecks. And that's end of game, baby.
Yep.
Like, you have to keep the money flowing in, right? That's what your business eats and breathes. So that's really great to hear that you've replaced yourself on the sales aspect. And I would think that getting a true VP of sales would be prohibitively expensive, but you have a relationship with this person and she has some affinity for you. She like loves you in the way that business people do.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. That's really great. That is fantastic. Okay. And so what are the surprising things that you've had to proceduralize yourself out of, or what did you learn that surprised you? In other words, my fear would be like, this is no longer my company. I don't actually get to make the decisions. Like, am I really important? Did you go through any of that?
I think so. And yeah, I'm actually still diving into that a little bit, because I did get my agency scaling to a point where I was out of it. I would review work every Thursday. My account manager would send it to me, but maybe that took 15 minutes or 30 minutes once a week. And that's the only thing I was doing. And it just was kind of running. So I got a little, it's hard. I think I'm still navigating the emotions, but I did end up, that's why I started my coaching business. It allowed me that time. And I was like, what am I passionate about? I went back to that drawing board of, what do I want my days to look like in 6 months from now, a year from now? And I realized that I didn't want to be in the brand design, actually illustrating and drawing and doing typography. And I really love the mentorship and being able to support other people in growing and scaling their businesses. So I had been doing a little bit of consulting and mentorship, and I actually just turned it into a higher level program, the Align Business Academy and the Align Business Mastermind. And that's what I really devoted a lot of my time to.
Okay.
And I'm now at a point where that is running with employees and team and another salesperson on that side. And I'm finding more time coming back to me again. And I'm looking back to the agency and saying, what other ways can we scale? How can we support a different type of client other than just doing these like high level custom larger projects? Is there something for that up and coming entrepreneur that can't afford a multi five figure package? And I'm going back. I'm like, ooh, this is fun again.
Yeah. Get the creative juices flowing.
Yeah.
So what do your days look like? How did you design your calendar?
So currently I did not expect this to be like this right now. I am doing a lot of one-on-one mentorship with my team. Having the transition from contractors to employees was I don't know if this happened with you or if you went through that, but in my head, it is just the energy is so much different now that I am actually mentoring somebody's career.
Right.
Instead of just having them be in the business doing their one piece and part of it, like it is in the agency. And so we have actually been going through some transition with employees. So I'm doing a lot of hiring, interviewing. I am doing one-on-one mentorship. And then I also am the person who is the, you know, quote unquote public figure. So I'm here doing podcasts and I'm doing guest expert sessions. And I am figuring out ways to market our business and ways to get that into more people. Really, that's what my days look like.
What boundaries do you put around your time? Is it literally just I work 5 hours a day, or how do you design the actual logistics of your calendar?
Yeah. So I have I have a nanny share with a neighbor, and I have 9 to 5 Monday through Thursday. And so every month I take one full week off where I just have that time to myself right now to vision for my business. On Mondays, I do my CEO work. I meet with my team. On Tuesdays are my full coaching days. So we do critiques for our coaching students. We do one-on-one critiques for everybody in there. And then we have two coaching calls for the different sections. Wednesdays, I have a CEO day where I have nothing on my calendar. And Thursdays are half coaching, half nothing on my calendar. And so that's what my actual days look like right now.
Wow.
Yeah. And then I take vacations or whatever, because I have a team that can support any of those critiques, any of the coaching calls when needed. I still love being in there, but they're able to take that on if I need a day off or a week off or whatever.
Yeah. So I have a full-time nanny. Okay. She comes 8:30 yes. to 5:30, but I find her being here from 8:30 to 5:30, I'm in my home office right now, doesn't actually enable me to work from 8:30 to 5:30. Like, first of all, I don't have the endurance to work that long anymore. But there's also some like inefficiencies, like showering, working out, you know, I mean, grocery shopping sometimes, food prep, stuff like that. Do you find the same thing, or how do you manage that?
I really want to go into this because I love it. I'm like all about optimizing not only my business, but my life. We actually have somebody that comes in to our house 4 hours a week. It's not like so much, but it's enough that like they do some food prep. They will like, they clean our home. They kind of organize everything. We get Instacart delivery for all of our food. So I never go grocery shopping. Right. My husband does the laundry. So yeah, I'm not doing this. So I'm like, I will make more money, but I will not do the laundry. And yeah, that's kind of how we do that kind of stuff. I will say like showering, working out, those kinds of things. I take my son out. I am also in a stage of my life where I'm like not being the healthiest human. And I do want to kind of change that. So logistically, I would probably do that after my son goes to bed or things like that.
Okay. You mean changing like what you eat? Is that what you mean? Or you're talking
changing
about working
what I
out?
Eat or just working out. I'm like, I don't have a time where I'm like working out right now, but yeah. I do a lot of, so here's I do Daily Harvest. This was my lunch. Do you know what Daily Harvest is?
Yeah.
So I love Daily Harvest because I can make smoothies and just like on the go be able to do that.
Hillary here with a quick timeout to tell you how we can work together to improve and even make your financial life 100% organized and hassle-free. As a listener, you probably know my story. I made every money mistake in the book until I finally figured out the power of learning how to change my brain, including my beliefs about money. This allowed me to multiply my wealth to over 8 figures. And since then, I've created a done-for-you comprehensive course to teach other business owners exactly how I did it. I've also been a wealth and financial advisor to women and couples for more than 20 years now. If you think we may be a great fit to work together, go to HillaryHendershot.com and just start a conversation. We provide fee-only fiduciary advice to our clients, which means our clients never, ever pay commissions, and we do only what's in your best interest, just like it's supposed to be for all financial advisors. If you want to see how my team and I measure up as financial advisors, check out our Yelp reviews at HillaryHendershot.com/Yelp. All right, let's get back to the show. Yeah, little ways of having healthy food that travels is key. It's key.
Yeah.
I listened to a health coach. She doesn't like the term health coach because unfortunately I feel like the MLM industry has sort of taken that term. But anyway, she is a health coach, a legit one with education and stuff. And she said, I never leave the house without something healthy to eat. And I started practicing that. And it's killer. It's amazing because I never end up like, oh, shoot, I have to have a super burrito.
Yeah, that's great. I always, I keep like Kind bars in my purse because I get that, I drink too much coffee and then I get the hypoglycemic crashes. And so I always have something, but I'm like a Kind bar. It's like chocolate and nuts. It's not super healthy, but it's better than a burrito, I guess.
So do you feel like when I think about saying to an employee or my team, I am going to take a week off a month and I'm not going to work more than 5 hours a day, I assume that they would get resentful, that they would want that schedule and they would think, why would I work full capacity for you when you aren't working full capacity for this? Have you run into that?
Yes, absolutely. I think it's so natural to feel that way. And so I'm always talking to my team about how important it is for me to be able to take that time off so I can actually grow the business. Because as the CEO, I do need that time off in order to have the white space to propel the business. If I don't have that, the business stays stagnant. And I've seen that too many times. Right. And so they know that having that white space is really important for me. And they also have the option to go be a CEO themselves if they would like. And I know that, I don't mean to say that in, I guess, a harsh way, but I think they see how difficult it is to also be the CEO and manage and grow a team and do what it takes to scale a business to a certain level. And if they want to go do that and also have that time off, like
they can do
very
that.
Much allowed to. And a big purpose and why for me is creating team environments that feel really aligned for people's lives. So we have a lot of flexibility in their schedule, benefits. I mean, they obviously have regular pay. We pay higher-ish salaries than I would say a lot of people do. A lot of paid time off, even for part-time people. We're always talking about, like, I've looked at a lot of business structures and I wanted to create an environment that I would be proud to almost be an employee of if I were an employee. And so me feeling so good about what we're providing for them, that they're getting paid well, they get so much flexibility. I hear time and time again from people who are applying in our businesses, they're like, this seems unreal compared to like other businesses out there. And to be a part of a business that creates this environment would just be a joy. And so I don't see it like, oh, I'm only working 5 hours a week and I'm taking all of this time off. I'm building this business to create wonderful work environments for others. And that's really important to me.
So your building an aligned business is very comprehensive. You've done it on both sides.
It is. I've always thought of it for myself, for my team. I just got off a one-on-one with my salesperson on the coaching business, and we're talking about her future plans and where she wants to take her life and her career and all of these things. And at every moment, we're making sure that the work that she's doing and growing into in our business is congruent with that future.
This may be putting you on the spot. It's not a normal number to know, but do you happen to know what percentage of your revenue is your payroll costs? In other words, how much of what you bring in goes to pay human beings?
25%.
Oh, is it 25? Mine's 65. Is that,
wow.
Yeah. We're a service business.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a lot of high, I mean, that includes myself, but it's high, relatively high payroll costs. So, and then I think, do you ever think, I mean, I have to know that the answer to this is no, or that you've dealt with it, but the traditional business owner mentality would be kind of get them in and work them as hard as you can. I mean, do you think maybe I'm losing money by having my life be like this? Or do you really feel like, no, this is the source of what I'm doing well? It is my unique value proposition. It's the reason I have high profits.
I don't ever want to create a business where I'm not really excited about the people I have in there and them feeling excited about it too. And this might be idealistic, but I want to pay more, or I'm not sure. I just want to make sure that they feel really good. And that's really important to me, that everybody feels really good in their life and their business. Like our students and clients feel amazing, and that our team does too, because I know that when they're happy, when they're really into the work that they're doing, and they feel ownership and agency over that work, that it's all going to be better.
Yeah, understood. So if you had to articulate the source of, I mean, you're describing something like it's a foregone conclusion, this working less and making more, but it's a big mystery for a lot of people. There are people who like can't figure it out. So obviously, the linchpin is standard operating procedures, but how would you describe your willingness to delegate? How would you coach someone who said, I couldn't give that up? I don't know how to delegate that. I need to be that person. You must get this resistance from people you coach. Do you?
Oh, yes, all of the time. And so I think it comes down to when you feel that in the moment, then you're choosing something now. So say you want to be doing the actual designing. I'm just going to use mine. You're illustrating, you're like hand making all of the typography. Is that what you want your time to be spent on? Or do you want to choose that year from now, that 6 months from now, that 3 years from now version of you who does have the time freedom? And what does that version of your life and days look like? Because if you are choosing to not give up the doing, then you're always going to be doing the doing. So what do you want more, to be doing the doing or to have that freedom?
Lovely. And I mean, I just feel like you speak about this. I'm repeating myself. You speak about it like it's easy. So I'm trying to pull out because I know there are lessons learned in there that were hard.
And so there are lessons learned, but I teach about this a lot, is being very uncomfortable to get to a place where you are living this wonderful life. And so every moment is really uncomfortable, honestly. Not every moment, but like you go through it and you're like, okay, I'm consciously choosing to let somebody else do this design, and they might not be as good as me, or I'm going to have to spend a lot of time to train them and get them to this place. But you're always doing these things that are in alignment with that future version of you, even though they're not comfortable in the moment. And so I think a big thing I lean into is leaning into that uncomfortableness in order to get to that better place down the road. And I always say, like, if I'm feeling too comfortable, I'm like, I haven't pushed myself into like some direction. Like,
right. Something's wrong here.
I'm like, I haven't done something that's actually going to move anything forward if I'm feeling too comfortable here.
Let's talk about the bane of most business owners' existences, that being email. So what are your policies and procedures around email? How do you make sure that, because my experience is there's a constant stream of email. I can never get through it. I always have to choose to either go do something else or do the email, right?
So and it's this is really funny. I've had an autoresponder up since 2017 that says, here are all the places you can get the information that you need, and this email will not be read. And if I ever do get an email, I have my executive assistant who organizes everything, and she forwards me the few emails that I actually do need to respond to. And there's a nice little folder in my Gmail. It says, Kelsey, respond. And I go in there like once a week.
Wow. So you have designed your life to not include email.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but there really are like conversations that happen between me and my team, or, emails from clients. I mean, this has to do with the specific nature of my business, but you know, Hillary, my car broke down. Should I buy a car or lease a car? Like that came in. I need to be available to answer some questions like that. Again, that's super specific to my business. Mm-hmm. Is there a way to have the emails that you want come through? And I know you talked about the folder. Maybe you've just designed your entire delivery of your service so that it's just email isn't a part of it.
Yeah. So the delivery of our service is that they have coaches in the Align business. We have our director of operations, who's our customer service basically for that. So they go to them. And then in the agency, we have our account and project manager that does all of the client communication. So I'm pulled out of the client communication because I know that if I'm the person doing it, I'm not going to do the best job. I won't. And so I think for the example of like, Hillary, my car broke down, are there ways in which you have somebody on your team that kind of knows all of those general procedures and they can answer? And if they don't know the answer, what we actually have is a Voxer. Like my team can get a hold of me on Voxer, the director of operations. I love talking something out. And so they can say, here's this thing that came through really quick. Like, I'm thinking this decision, is that correct? And I can literally say, yes, no, here's what I would say.
Right.
And so those things are coming in sometimes, but over time, again, your team starts to know the answers and you start to put those in standard operating procedures. We have huge like FAQ documents, how to answer any question coming in from a student, how to answer any question coming in during the sales process. Like there are just standard ways in which we go about it. And my team is the one that is constantly updating those. So I answer once and then it becomes a part of our process.
All right. I feel like we're getting to the meat of it here now. That's the thing is, and those standard operating procedure documents, and we have a number of them, dozens of them, maybe 100 of them. And they're so useful. They're so tedious to create. I'm not creating them, so I'm not saying I'm the one, but they're so valuable. You know, we brought in a new executive assistant and she got me on the, we had a one-on-one. She said, I'm blown away by your standard operating procedure. She said, thank you so much. This is like, enables me to be great at my job. And it's like, yeah, we've put a lot of time and effort into those.
Yep.
Okay. Anything I haven't asked about? I think the real design of this is you got to decide. You have to decide to live a life by design that you, it is okay for you to design your calendar and have white space and take time off. And then you have to create standard operating procedures and empower people to replace you.
Yes. And I think the bigger thing that we didn't hit on really is making sure that the offerings that you have in your business are profitable and include team, like all the operating expenses for your business that deliver a valuable result for your clients at that price or at that investment. And so there is some offer design and program design and things like that that come into play. You need to make sure that you are profitable and that you're charging a proper amount to have that profitability in your business. And so I think that is a big thing. Usually when I'm working with entrepreneurs that are building towards their first six figures, let's say, and they are charging $100 for a logo or even $1,000 for a logo. It's at some point, if you want to get to that level and also have the time off that you desire, you do have to charge at a certain level, or you have to produce at a bigger level with more team, which takes a lot more managing. So it's just making sure the design of your actual offers are profitable for what you want to do.
Perfect. And is there an easy way to tell, to communicate? I work with my clients and I try to get them to reverse engineer the compensation that they want. Is there an easy way to tell people how to price? For example, if you want to make $250,000 a year, is it clear what your hourly rate should be? If you have an hourly rate, if you're offering consulting, is there like an easy way to do that in your experience?
You could do it. So this is something we call our retreat days, and we actually create somebody's schedule first and figure out how many hours of sleep do you want? How much self-care time do you want? What do you have to do? Like you were saying, like getting ready for the day. Do you have to carpool? I don't know. So how many days do you, like how many hours do you actually have in your schedule to work? We take the amount of time that you are actual billable hours, which is less than even that. And then we make the sales goals that you have half of the billable hours that you even have available. And so you can see really quickly when you start to like add up the actual time that you have in your business and in your life to live the life that you want to live, what you need to charge and what sales you need to hit in order to reach those compensation goals.
Right. Yeah. Reverse.
A lot of the times it's not an hourly rate. Like I could get paid $1,000 an hour and still not make the rate I want to make. And so it's usually ends up being higher level packages, like consulting packages instead of just hourly rates.
Right. Or also sometimes I notice, I look at an appointment that I don't want on my calendar. And I think to myself, how much would they have to pay me to make it worth it for me? And if it gets over like $2,000 or $3,000, I'm thinking I should probably take that off my calendar.
Yeah.
What happened here? Yeah. Okay, great. So talk to us a little bit about your coaching program.
Yeah. So we have the Align Business Academy, which supports people in creating their first six figures. So it really helps people be able to make the income that they want as they're scaling there and learn how to delegate and how to start doing marketing and sales and actually sell at that higher level. And then we have the Align Business Mastermind, which is really about scaling to your first seven figures and making sure that you have the employees and team and business organization, and you're leaning into management and really designing that business to scale to seven figures without you. And the whole purpose of it is really just to do it in a way that super supports the life you want to live. And that is different for everybody.
Right, right. Okay. And the course is delivered virtually so people can take it from anywhere?
Yeah, we have people all over the world, Thailand, Australia, the UK, and yeah, they're all over. And we have lots of different types of support in there to accommodate time zones, learning styles. And everybody also gets a one-on-one coach. So you get both that community, but also a one-on-one coach who creates action plans with you and really individualizes the program for you.
That's great. How long does it take?
It is a year, each of them.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
All right. So truly comprehensive. Great. Well, you've inspired me. I'm going to go mark off a week. I'm not going to show up for work. No, I'm kidding. But I will get there. I will get there.
Yeah. It took me 6 months. I put that on my January board and now I'm here. I took my first like solid week off last month.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Real quick, what did you do for a week?
So this was, I mean, real personal. We actually went through, we had to fire an employee, unfortunately. And so I really thought through, how do I want to be as a manager? How do I set up these structures? I was really thinking through, like, how do I be as a CEO and lead this team? And so it was, this is going to sound silly, but it was a lot of bubble baths and a lot of journaling and figuring out management structures and styles for the future of the company.
So you really are.
But I need that white space. I'm not taking it off. Yes, it's a think time, and it's still working. But it's fun and needed, and it's that necessary white space.
That is awesome. You really inspired me. Thank you for sharing. I think what you're teaching is so needed because people are getting burnt out, and like, I'm not being dramatic, killing themselves. Not like. They're shortening their lifespan is what they're doing, right? Yeah. The gray hair, the wrinkles, the heartache like that. And so, you know, thank you for teaching us something that's so, so needed right now.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Great to have you.
As we wrap things up here for today, I need to review with you the things I have to disclose as a fiduciary financial advisor offering wealth management services through my firm, Hendershot Wealth Management, LLC. You should know that the opinions I express on Profit Boss Radio are my own, and they can change. The content I provide in the show is for general education. It's not intended as specific investment advice, nor do I recommend any specific financial products. Unlike how I roll at home with my husband, I can't guarantee that my statements, opinions, or forecasts are always 100% right. Of course, I wish I could peek into that proverbial crystal ball, but so far, I haven't found it. Past performance is not indicative of future results. I talk a lot about indexes, and I want you to know you can't actually buy an index because, of course, when you take a list of companies and create a product that allows people to invest in those companies, there are fees and expenses involved that reduce returns. Remember, all investing involves risk, which, as you know, means you could lose your money. And I have to tell you that there is no guarantee that any investment plan or strategy will be successful. And that should keep my lawyers happy. Have a great day.